This is gotcha journalism, but you know what? They're not going to gotcha me.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Yes, it is. Coming to you from the remote Carter Subaru studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. My goodness, I love you. Yeah, you. Because when I'm doing the show, I sometimes can't pay full attention to, you know, stuff that's in our newscasts even. I try to, because it often provides fodder. But when the text line starts blowing up, because so many of you heard something in our local news that upset you, I have not even heard this audio yet. I haven't had a chance to preview it. But I asked Nicole to find it because we aired this an hour ago at the 1 o'clock top of the hour news. And all of a sudden, my text line just started getting flooded. The Seattle City Council apparently is very upset because we have not spent enough money during this economic crisis. Citizens unemployed, businesses losing their livelihood. People who can't pay their rent, citizens who can't pay their rent. And the Seattle City Council is very upset because selfishly, you and I, the taxpayers, have not given them enough money for illegals. Here's Lorena Gonzalez.
We've seen the federal government dole out trillions of dollars in assistance. The sad reality is that not a single dollar will benefit undocumented workers, many of whom are deemed as essential workers.
No. No, the United States of America, which is printing money at an obscene rate to try to staunch the bleeding from a government shutdown that has been entirely unnecessary and just created by Jay Inslee and his ilk. But we haven't given enough money to illegals? Oh. Well, tell you what, let's take care of all the illegals. And then, and there's an estimated anywhere from 10 to 30 million illegals in America. Let's just take care of all the illegals, and then let's start worrying about the American citizens who are unemployed and the business owners who are losing their enterprise. I did not realize that we weren't taking care of the illegals quick enough, and I appreciate Seattle City Councilwoman Lorena Gonzalez for pointing that out to all of us. With that as mere prelude, let's get to the top story.
The Big Lead, top story.
So I was disgusted at Jay Inslee's press conference yesterday. As you know, late last week, he went on Bernie Sanders' website, and he said that he sees this economic meltdown as a wonderful opportunity for his climate change agenda. And I thought, well, surely somebody in the Olympia press corps will ask him about that. I mean, the mayor of Burlington came on my show and said, I'm an ally of Jay Inslee's, but he revealed his true agenda. He doesn't care about rescuing the economy. He doesn't care about the unemployed. He doesn't care about the broken businesses. He wants to push through a climate change agenda. And nobody asked him about that. And I blistered the press corps. Well, the finest among the press corps is Cairo Radio's terrific reporter, Hannah Scott. And Inslee had a press conference this morning. And bless her heart, Hannah tried to ask Inslee about his Bernie bro climate change. And Jay Inslee did, and this is a very well-known strategy of his, he will just try to bore the media to death. And they can't interrupt him because they're muted. And Jay Inslee just rambled on. I'll play for you as long as you and I can stomach of this.
There were some comments you made last week to, I believe, Senator Sanders, suggesting the COVID crisis is an economic opportunity or opportunity to advance climate change. Can you clarify what those comments meant?
Look, it is really clear that our nation needs at least a couple things right now. We need a huge increase in economic activity. And we need a federal leadership on that to create a demand to turn the spigot of our economy on full blast. We need, I believe, something of the scale of the thing that did get us out of the first Great Depression. I studied economics at the UW. I don't consider myself an economist, but I do believe that we know that.
I'm sorry. Jay Inslee talking about he studied econ at the UW. He flunked out of Stanford. I'm sorry, he couldn't afford it any longer. But listening to Jay Inslee cite his academic credentials is a little too much. But anyway, go ahead, Jay.
What really got us out of the Great Depression was World War II and the massive investment in the armament that helped us maintain freedom. That put millions of Americans to work. It put money in their pockets, and it was the shot of adrenaline that really restarted the U.S. economy. It just kind of stumbled along for years until we got that huge infusion.
I can't listen anymore. We can't stumble along for years. There is no comparison between the precipitating cause of this economic meltdown versus the Great Depression of the late 20s and throughout the 1930s. This was a worldwide virus that was unleashed on us, and businesses that folded through no fault of their own, just completely a lightning bolt out of the blue. And if you are not focused on just how to get people back to work, and I'll give you an example. New York State, they owe $400 million right now. They have the highest death toll in the country. They have $400 million as part of their billions in debt because of a failed purchase of solar panels. If you don't focus, Governor Inslee, on getting the people in the restaurant and the retail sector back to work, the people who sell cars, the economic engines of this region, if you don't laser-like focus, but if you say, yeah, we're going to build wind generators and solar panels, you're talking about something that is years away, and people don't have years. And it's despicable that you have glee and see opportunity where everybody else sees financial ruin. So I appreciate Hannah Scott asking the question. I'm disgusted with the governor's continued non-answers. And I'll have more on that after the 12:30 news. All right, up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
As we've been telling you about the last couple of weeks, as more and more people are getting disgruntled with the stay-at-home policy, we are seeing more and more evidence that decisions are being made not for public health reasons, but because of a social agenda that Jay Inslee and many others seem to be pushing forward. A couple of sheriffs in our state, over in Jefferson County and up in Snohomish County, have said they're not going to enforce stay at home, that they're not going to enforce a regulation that they believe is unconstitutional. And now there are a couple of recall efforts against the Snohomish County Sheriff. His name is Adam Fortney. He joins us once again here on the Dory Monson Show. Sheriff, good to talk to you again.
Thank you, sir. It's great to be here.
Okay, so now you have at least a couple of people who want to kick you out of office because of your public stance that you're not going to enforce stay at home. And what's interesting about this to me, Adam, is I don't think there's many people in law enforcement who are going to be enforcing stay at home. You just went public with it. You actually talked about what your intentions were. I think everyone else is just kind of doing it surreptitiously. Is that a fair appraisal on my part?
That is absolutely a great assessment. Yeah, I was pretty much the first one to come out. So, yeah, I was a little bit controversial at the time. But what we're actually doing in practice is in line with what any other law enforcement agency, probably in the state of Washington, is doing. And it pretty much what I said, yeah, I said I wasn't going to enforce it. But what the key word it comes down to is enforcement. The only enforcement mechanism the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office has is an arrest for a gross misdemeanor for violating this order. I'm just not... We're releasing criminals left and right from both the state system and the county system. I'm not about to start locking up residents in Snohomish County. That was my point behind the whole thing. So, yeah.
Okay, so now you have a couple of citizens. I talked to one of these people last week. She seems to be kind of a professional litigator. She sues cities and charities and other organizations left and right. But she has gotten the green light from a judge to pursue trying to get you kicked out of office. So has this been worth it for you to say, look, I'm going to stand up for my constitutional beliefs, but that's brought a lot of grief on yourself?
Oh, that's another good question. Is it worth it to me? 1,000% yes. I mean, I'm a politician because I ran for office last year, but I think it's safe to say I'm not your typical politician. I'm not here to make decisions based on what will keep me in office in 4 years. I'm here to do the right thing at the right time for the right reasons and for the people of Snohomish County. And I agree that there are passionate people on both sides of the issue. Dory, I don't see this as a right or left, Republican or Democrat issue. This is public safety. This is about constitutional rights. There's no doubt about it. But when I speak on behalf of constitutional rights, it's not for any specific segment of our population. It's for everybody in Snohomish County. And I know and I respect it. There are some people who don't agree with me. But I got to go home and, you know, I got to be okay with my own integrity at the end of the night. And when this is all said and done, I'm going to be just fine. So yeah. I stand by it. I'm not going to lock up residents in Snohomish County for being out when someone says they're not supposed to. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, you said it in very blunt terms. And, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You said things about Jay Inslee and his motivations. And you know that I certainly have a lot of questions about Jay Inslee's motivations. I mean, just since you and I talked last time, Jay Inslee went on Bernie Sanders' website last week and said he looks at this economic devastation as an opportunity for his climate change agenda. We covered earlier today the fact that the state is using phony data to exaggerate the death numbers connected to COVID-19. And so if they're pushing out faulty numbers, if he says that this is about climate change, then I think we are fools if we don't question the governor, because this simply is not about public health. This is about controlling the people, instilling fear in the people, and a fearful populace is the most easily controllable populace.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I saw what he said on the Bernie Sanders show, and it troubled me deeply. You know, we all, late February, early March, I think everyone bought in because the predictions were dire about what this pandemic was going to do. We're a few months beyond that now. And initially, I take James Lee at his word, absolutely 100%. But when he comes on a show like the Bernie Sanders show and basically says that this is political now, yeah, I have issues with that now, but I'll let the public make their own judgment on that. You're doing a good job about it. My question is, where's all the questions from the other local media on this? I mean, that's a really big deal what he said. That should be headline news. I'm not quite certain why it's not.
I was disgusted. I watched his entire press conference yesterday, and not one member of the Olympia press corps asked him about the fact that he views this as a great opportunity. And you know, I just think, Adam, about a million newly unemployed people. I've gotten emails from business owners who have been putting all their blood, sweat, and tears for decades into an enterprise, and now they're seeing it go bankrupt, and they're crying themselves to sleep. And we have a governor who says there's an opportunity for climate change. We have some real evil motives, and I'm not saying that he's an evil man, but I'm saying this particular motive is evil because it shows such a tone deafness about how we have people whose financial lives are absolutely devastated, and he seems to be happy about the climate change opportunity that's coming out of this.
Yep, that was absolutely painful. In my original Facebook post that started all of this, about 80% of it was on that, the unequal treatment by the government of its citizens when it came to being able to provide a living. What the policies he put in place, they just didn't make sense. And I think, a lot of people were thinking the same thing. I think that's why it got a lot of attention. But yeah, the same things that you're saying right now, I think about all day long, every day. We all know people in our community, and that's why I wanted to speak on behalf of them. Again, we were all on board at first, but yep. Now that we're a few months in and people are still being treated disparately, it's tough to take. It is. It's tough.
Okay, one other point. I'm disgusted with your prosecutor up there, Adam Cornell, and I'll tell you why. When Seattle City Councilwoman Kshama Sawant, when she publicly declared two Seattle police officers who had been exonerated in a shooting, she declared them murderers. And they rightfully sued her for slander. And the city of Seattle spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to defend a city councilwoman who called cops murderers. And now we have you up in Snohomish County. You have simply said that you don't want to enforce something that's unconstitutional, and your county prosecutor has said, no, we are not going to provide any legal support for Sheriff Fortney. Given the precedent that had been set with calling cops murders and so on, I find it absolutely disgusting that your prosecutor will not defend you for the legal battle that you have ahead of you.
Whew, yeah. I'm a little frustrated as well. I'm trying to be careful here with my words. It is very frustrating, and it is, he got on me. I think what he said in his memo publicly was inflammatory, and I think there's some hypocrisy going on there. He knows very well, if anybody knows, he knows that law enforcement, and that includes the prosecutor side of the house and the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office side of the house, we have discretion in which arrests we make. Not only that, my stance on this, just we can set aside whether it's constitutional or not for just a second. I've been very clear about that anyway.
Sure.
The question is it the right thing to do to go out and start arresting people for violating the stay-at-home order? It's not. Not only that, he chooses which laws he wants to enforce or not. He does the same thing that he is accusing me publicly of doing. And I'm not okay with that. He had the 2-gram policy up until, before COVID hit. That was under his watch as well. He just flat decided he's not charging these crimes. He's done that with driving on a suspended license. Okay, people work hard to keep their driver's license. You get a ticket, you pay your fine. Well, blanket policy. He's not going to charge that crime. What's the difference? I wish somebody would ask him that.
I would too. I've been trying to get him on the show. He bizarrely compared you saying you thought this was unconstitutional. He compared it to shouting fire in a crowded theater, which is just one of the stupidest analogies I've ever heard. It makes, that just made no sense whatsoever. But so I would love to get him on. Adam Cornell is an open invitation to come on our show and explain all of this to us. And as always, Sheriff, I appreciate you coming on. Let's stay in touch. And I want to follow along as this works the way through, because I don't like the way they're doing you right now up there.
You got it, sir. I'm available anytime. Thank you.
Okay. All right. That's the sheriff in Snohomish County, Adam Fortney, joining us up next in the Big Lead. Well, actually, look at the time. I don't even have time for another Big Lead. But tell you what, I'm going to stretch this into the next segment, because I do have more on Jay Inslee refusing to answer questions about them cooking the death totals in our state. More on the city of Seattle wanting to spend a massive amount of tax dollars on illegals during this crisis. I got it all covered for you. Lots more straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show plows on. The Dory Monson Show rolls on. So I've got more details on the soundbite I played for you a half hour ago. This really is unbelievable that the city of Seattle, with the absolute economic devastation that is happening, you have a lot of Seattle citizens who are unemployed, businesses that are on the brink of extinction. And what the Seattle City Council is focused on is just, again, they care much more about their social justice causes than anything else. So by a 9-0 vote, there are no dissenting voices on the Seattle City Council these days. By a 9-0 vote, the city council unanimously said, we want to spend $100 million just on illegals. Now, again, the reason for this is because that it helps with the economic destruction of our region, because this is not an epithetical comment about illegals. But if you do not speak the language of any country you are in, you are usually consigned to economic hardship. And so what we do here is we try to attract as many illegals from around the country as possible. And even if you have some collateral damage, like an illegal who murders a Kittitas County Sheriff's deputy, Jay Inslee's okay with that, because they want for both federal funding and they get an extra congressional seat, which is a Democrat seat. And that's the main part of it. Washington is one of the only states that has an extra seat in Congress because of the number of illegals that we have here. And so the other benefit for the Marxist socialists who are running the city is if you are in poverty, then you are completely dependent on government for your subsistence. And so that's where, government, meaning taxpayers, have to provide housing, education, medical care, food stamps, everything. And so under even the best of economic circumstances, this is a dubious strategy. But when we have 1 million newly unemployed people in our state, 1 million who have lost their jobs in the last month, and the Seattle City Council, and here's Lorena Gonzalez, they want to spend $100 million not on our out-of-work citizens, but on illegals who have snuck into the country.
We have seen the federal government dole out trillions of dollars in assistance. The sad reality is that not a single dollar will benefit undocumented workers, many of whom are deemed as essential workers.
And so City of Seattle taxpayers are going to come up with $100 million. Jenny Durkin's going to sign it. They haven't identified the source of funding yet, but they're going to come up with $100 million to give to illegals. Now, what's ironic about all of this is the United States Supreme Court, just a couple of days ago, they ruled that anybody who aids and abets illegals coming into this country is guilty of up to a felony. And so if we wanted to enforce the law of the land, the feds could go after Jay Inslee and Lorena Gonzalez and Kshama Sawant and Tammy Morales and Jenny Durkin and Dow Constantine. They could go after all of them for being in violation of federal laws. You cannot encourage people to illegally come or stay in the United States. That's the brand new Supreme Court ruling that came down, what date was this? May 10th. So just last week. The Supreme Court unanimously resurrected a federal law struck down by an appeals court that made it a felony to encourage people to come to or stay illegally in the United States. So Jay Inslee says he's ready to put a barber in Snohomish in jail because of stay at home. He says we can't have him deciding which laws he's going to follow. You have the Snohomish County Sheriff who's facing a recall. And Jay Inslee said, we can't have elected officials decide what laws they're going to follow. But the Seattle City Council is now committing a felony by encouraging illegals to come or stay illegally in the United States. So how are you going to put Bob the Barber in jail for giving haircuts? You've released hundreds of felony criminals with multiple gun felonies from state prisons because of coronavirus. But you're talking about putting a former Marine, a barber, in jail because he's giving haircuts when Inslee and every member of the Seattle City Council is committing felonies by illegally encouraging illegals to stay in the United States. It's really quite amazing. And then speaking of Jay Inslee, as we told you at the beginning of the show, if you want to hear the in-depth analysis, go check out our noon hour podcast. But he's cooking the books. He has exaggerated the death count for COVID-19 in our state. The Freedom Foundation revealed that if you have tested positive for coronavirus and then you subsequently die for any reason, even if it's not virus related, the state is counting that as a coronavirus death. What's the motivation for Jay Inslee in the state of Washington to exaggerate by 13% the number of coronavirus deaths in our state? Well, it's to instill fear. And I'm here to instill calm because a fearful populace is the most easily controlled. And they want you to think you're going to die from coronavirus. If you back out the people in the long-term care facilities, if you back out the people 75 plus, then now you're talking about 85% of the deaths, just those categories. If you're not over 75, you have a 1/1000th of 1% chance of dying from coronavirus. Does that justify destroying our economy, a 30% unemployment rate? But, man, Jay Inslee, when he was called out on how they were cooking the books, he was upset.
And I do have to say this. I think one of the difficulties in this is that the conspiracy theories that are fanning people's efforts to go out and do what this group did and argue that 887 deaths just not something to be worried about is really disappointing to me. I've heard people say things that are from a different planet, and it's very unfortunate that some folks in public life have fanned the flames of misinformation in that regard, because it's dangerous. It's dangerous to people's health So they become unwilling to protect themselves and their loved ones. So I'm not impressed by what is barely an argument.
Okay. I know he's talking about me and my radio show, conspiracy theories from a different planet, fanning the flames of misinformation. Actually, the Freedom Foundation presented facts. You're cooking the books. You're exaggerating the death count. The chance of people dying is statistically almost zero if they're not 75 plus and don't have underlying health conditions, and you have destroyed the economy for that. I mean, you can call it a conspiracy theory. I say, between you and me, Jay, I'm the only one consistently presenting the truth here. Coming up next, count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio straight ahead. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And it's that time of day when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
At number three, nothing goes right for poor Joe Biden. He was trying to do a press briefing. But, Joe, you got to shut the French doors because the geese might crash your party.
Number three.
Why have they failed to get this money out to the folks who desperately need it to stay afloat? Is it incompetence? Corruption? Trump is out there tweeting again this morning. I call him President Tweety. Reopen the country, end of quote.
Did you even hear that? He calls Trump President Tweety? So he's coming up with nicknames just like Trump? Nobody can hear it because of the geese.
How are we supposed to do that if you're sitting on the money small businesses need in order to stay alive? Stop tweeting about it. Get the money out to Main Street now.
Stop the honking! Stop the honking! Okay, number two, Nancy Pelosi, she's worried about Donald Trump taking hydroxychloroquine because she says he's too old. And this was rude. Pelosi said he's too fat.
Number two.
As far as the president is concerned, he's our president, and I would rather he not be taking something that has not been approved by the scientist, especially in his age group and in his, shall we say, weight group, what is morbidly obese, they say. So I think that it's not a good idea.
Whoa, Pelosi with her Botox-injected snare drum face calling Trump morbidly obese. I bet he has a response.
These people are sick. Pelosi is a sick woman. She's got a lot of problems, a lot of mental problems. We're dealing with people that have to get their act together for the good of the country.
And then at number one, a reporter tried to ask Trump about an unemployment plan, but oh, he didn't like the way the question was asked.
Number one.
These people are sick. Pelosi.
Oh, that's not it. Here we go.
Mr. President, why haven't you announced a plan to get 36 million unemployed Americans back to work? You're overseeing historic economic despair. What's the delay? Where's the plan?
I think we've announced a plan. We're opening up our country. Just a rude person you are. We're opening up our country. We're opening it up very fast. The plan is that each state is opening, and it's opening up very effectively. And when you see the numbers, I think even you will be impressed, which is pretty hard to impress you.
But, you know, seriously, listen to the tone that Trump gets. And then Inslee gets a complete pass from the Olympia press corps. It's disgusting that Inslee gets a pass with all the nonsense he's cooking. Okay. They'll do it for us. God bless you in these crazy times. Tom and Curly are up next, and I'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Take care.
Wow. That was extra.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.